I'd now like to welcome our third and final speaker before we have a chance for you, the audience, to interact with our panel, and that is Councillor Chris Meadows-Taylor, who's the chair of this conference committee and Mayor of Central Goldfield Shire. Can you please welcome Chris to the microphone?
Thank you very much. Now, could I say too that Bendigo is a great example on what Rod's talking about. He talks with a passion, but so he should, because it's a really exciting example to look at. Now, I just want to follow a few points. The question, what action can we take? And I think we all heard the concern question before lunch from the councillor from Yarra Ranges, Yarra Valley. And let me just try and run through some practical steps that I think can be a way forward. Now, I know in Victoria we're focused on this is our last year of our present terms next year, and we go to elections. We all face terms of office. Now, whether we are in a new council with a new council plan or whether we're in a final year or coming to the end where it is a time to look at legacies, the issues are the same. We just position them slightly differently. One of the things we need to do as councils, or those of us who advise councils and officers, free up time for strategic conversations. No reports from the officers, no reports and decisions. Time to talk about the things that are important. One of the things to talk about in this is the issue of gaps. The issue of gaps, of course, is widely used in organisations. Where are we now? Where do we want to be? If it's a new council, obviously that takes very real importance in setting a council plan. For a council nearing its end, where did we set out? Where did we want to be? Where are we now? What are perhaps some of those things we still need to do? The issues are the same. I went through this morning John Hawkes's, I call them the seven levers opportunity, he calls them the structure, range education, training, communications, constructed environment, arts, history and heritage, recreation, leisure and sport, to which I think we've all agreed, because I heard this came up several times, tourism and events are one that we would, and I think there are other levers opportunity. The list is not exclusive. So how can we use those levers? What are some of the things we need to do to close that gap further to where we want to be, and how can we use those creatively? And one of the things, for new councils coming in, to think about community culture. What type of community culture do we want? Where is it now? Where does it want to be? How do we emphasise those behaviours? To give you just a few examples, practical things that we've done. I mentioned social inclusion was an issue for us this morning. In education and training, one of the things we've done is partner with our education providers and other institutions to give kids an exposure to come to Melbourne. Beacon Foundation is one of those partners, to look and understand careers and work in and have experience of situations they wouldn't normally get experience in, particularly to broaden their career perspective. Social inclusion and community confidence is an issue. We've used our built heritage, we've got some wonderful built heritage, and restored some of that and had a civic pride initiative to build civic pride and the confidence and pride around our heritage. We're very good at sports. What do people do in sports? They compete. Aspirational communities. So we're trying to use that now increasingly in those people, those kids that do well in sport, to actually become examples and role models of achievement, of participation, of engagement and striving for success and build that. And we're working with the Cultural Development Network to broaden our engagement in community arts and participation in new ways to actually measure that contribution. One of the ways where a lot of families don't get engaged in arts, we did some investment in pantomime. Someone very, very good at running pantomime, And then, of course, parents came who wouldn't normally participate to watch their darlings on the stage, and the production was so good, it led to others, and those parents and those families became engaged. Remember John Hawkes' point this morning about engaging families. So through that way, we're able to do it. The reality is the levers are practical, easy to identify. The process is not difficult. So no one should go away today saying it's all too complicated. It's very easy, and the opportunities are enormous to do that. The final comment I would say, whether it's a new council or council going out, do the importance of alignment. Too often we do too many things that are not connected in local government, in any organisation, not just local government. Aligning, connecting, reinforcing the emphasis of things, reinforcing key behaviours and values. Alignment is critical. And that's something I'd encourage us all to think about, and how we manage the change process, to think about that. But the message overall, it can be done, it's not that hard, and with the toolbox that we've got in cultural development, we can achieve real change and take our communities forward. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much to all of our speakers for this last session. So just to remind you again about what we want to get from you now, it's your time to do some more thinking, is we want to hear from you about how you think this declaration can be useful for your own council, and also what action can we take now from all the discussion we've had today and all that you've heard. And given what we've done so far, is there anything else that you think we should do? Anything else you think that's required so that we can move ourselves forward on this journey? And given that all of our councils are at different stages, some haven't got any thinking yet about culture in their strategic planning, some are quite advanced, and there's lots along that continuum. So I guess, you know, throw up the ideas that come to mind, things that have worked well for you in your council, or challenges you've had and things that you've done to overcome them, anything that could be useful. Okay, so we'll start. So it's Anne, I think.
Councillor Martin from Wollongong Council. I've 3 weeks in, we just had an election at Wollongong after 3 years of administration, so I'm very happy to be here as my first conference. Hooray for us! Anyway, can I say that I think the opportunity of timing of what has happened here today and the declaration, and dovetailing into Minister Crean's request for submissions on national policy for the culture, or for culture, is an amazing opportunity. Can I also say I'm the past chair of a National Arts and Cultural Alliance, which is, of course, Melbourne-based, living out of Port Kembla, which was a bit of a challenge. So I think that's number one, is to how do we actually dovetail those two opportunities. And the other one is the call for submissions for how local government fits within the constitution. So can I say that in looking at how local government responds to that opportunity to have a position constitutionally, we should also ensure that we put the flag up well and truly for how culture is at fourth tier, and that culture also needs to have a component of participatory democracy as well. So that notion of local cultural democracy, and then how that feeds into a federal and national and Commonwealth positioning, so we can, you know, raise our hands and stand proud amongst our international neighbours as well. So can I just say, fantastic conference, and I'm so pleased to be here.
Thank you very much for that feedback, Councillor Martin. Okay, anything further? We've got somebody, yes, down the back there, if someone, gentleman in the very far.
Hello, Charlie Cush from the Local Government Association of Queensland. I guess my question is fairly practical and pragmatic. for the elected members up on the stage. It's great to hear from so many elected members who are supportive of the program, the four pillars in arts and culture. I suppose that a lot of the roles of everyone in the room really is advocating for this process and, you know, this methodology. Just some practical advice when approaching or advising or advocating for this model to your contemporaries, to other elected members who may be more focused on the traditional roads, rates and rubbish, what advice have you got around some of those levers or pitching that advocacy for a model like this?
I think it's important to start off with small steps. Can you hear me? Oh, good. Just the small steps. What we did was we had some policies around wanting to help the arts, and we provided some rooms where people could meet and so on like that for a start. Then what happened was we made what seemed like a huge leap into actually providing some funding for the arts groups, and from there it's just snowballed. And they've got confidence, our community's got confidence, and the council has got confidence in the community being able to deliver on what they say they will.
Look, I think increasingly our communities are putting us as elected members under pressure. They need us to deliver more than roads, rates and rubbish because they want things, they have new needs, they want us to deliver them. So I think as we set out those needs, we do end up with a gap, whether we call it that or... And we simply say, look, this is what we want, and this is what our community wants. This is where we are now, and then we say we start to use those levers of change to get us there. So it's about getting what the community wants, what it needs for a sustainable, prosperous future, because that's what all our communities want. And when we show that this is the path to get communities where they need to be, and if we do a good job with that, then I think that's the key strategy.
Can I just make one other comment? And this is sort of the tactician in me, I suppose. But I completely understand that often there'll be opposition to things, and I've had a number of discussions over lunch with people where, you know, the dominant thinking in the council is about, you know, the economic position and so on. And I'm not discounting that one bit. It's extremely important, but it's like everything. You've got to have a balance. You can't have all your eggs in one basket and then none in the others. But I guess if you're facing those kinds of challenges, finding the buttons that can push, and I think the policy that we've seen and the presentations that we've had clearly identify that, you know, culture is not exclusive of economic development. There are opportunities. Tourism is an obvious one. If you can find buttons, if you've got people that are, you know, big on economics and it's all about the money, honey, try and find and tap in to, you know, things that will push their buttons as well. Because if you can find that common point of where what you want and what they want overlaps, then there's wins in it for everybody. So, I mean, I agree with what the other speakers have said. Clearly, you know, providing a space, some infrastructure, you're making things, you know, halls and spaces accessible, all of those things can be done very low cost that won't trouble people that are, you know, looking at the bottom line all the time. But to broach that next step, find where there is something that will, you know, be of an economic nature, but it's also of an arts and cultural heritage nature as well, and see if you can find, you know, those common intersections. I think would be things that I would do myself.
Can I just offer one further comment? For example, at Bendigo with the Art Gallery, that's worth $18 million plus a year to our economy. So any time we have an argument saying that it's a waste of money, we just trot that out, and all of a sudden the argument's evaporated. Surprising. But it's true. And so what Felicity Ann has said is quite correct. You need to find those right buttons, but I still think that if you take small steps for a start, deliver the results, then that speaks for itself and gives everybody confidence.
Okay. Was that helpful? Good. Okay. Any further questions? Otherwise, we can move on with some... observations from our panels. So, Dr. Modi, you'd like to make a few comments about a couple of the questions we've got here for ourselves?
Well, thank you very much. See, basically, I would like to reply to three questions. Useful for our councils. What could be the useful of our council? I think the discussion and deliberation since morning, the honourable speakers have given up very good ideas in the morning also. All these ideas could be put or could be summarised and could be put on the internet, and the message should go to all councils throughout the globe. Number two, what action can we take? I think when we talk about the actions by the local body, we need to provide all the basic facilities and amenities to develop a right culture, right from the school age to the children, the open ground, the message of frankness, the message of study, the adoption of new technology, and how this technology could be useful for development of culture. See, what we see in front of us, what is behind us, is very small things compared to what we have within ourselves. What I would say, the inbuilt culture. I think every individual is an inbuilt culture. And this culture needs to be developed. And I think the inbuilt culture, if you want to develop, the local body will have to provide all sorts of amenities like art gallery, like music college, like painting and competition shows, and like music competition. Like, for example, in India, the Bollywood, that has become very popular, as popular as Hollywood. I think the message is going to all the youngsters. So I think the local body will have to adopt the concept and commitment to provide the basic amenities to develop culture. Coming back again to the gender issue. Gender issue also, for that also, our local body will have to take up a strong commitment. How the genders, the rightfully when we say 50% of the political force, how it could be developed in order to build your own city, city to keep clean, even from all resources point of view, even from the environment management point of view. Number three, the question that comes up, what else is required? I think we require to go back to our own country and develop this concept and organize this seminar at regional level, provincial level, national level, and to discuss more about the culture, what is more important, right at the local level rather than the global level. Because at local level, every country has a local level, the culture differentiation. I think ultimately the local level culture one has to develop in order to build up a strong bondage among the humanity, ultimately inviting peace and unity and diversity. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Modi. And you forgot to reiterate your Cultural Preservation Day. Yeah. We've got to start with that when we get home.
Yeah, certainly. We shall. I can promise I shall certainly organize the conference. We have been organizing every 3 months, provincial or state level, national level. This important issue will be taken up, I can promise. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any further comments from our panel about things? Okay. This gentleman on this side with the beautiful makeup.
Yes, I walked into a glass
door. Got to do the other side. You've got to balance up.
Try and match it out. I look like a raccoon. My name's Tony Bruce. I'm with the Music in Communities Network. I was very interested to come along today. More than 1 in 10 of your constituents are practicing musicians. We are low-lying fruit, and we're there. We're not expensive, and we're easy to service. And so I'm very much interested in you, in helping you. My project is the Music in Communities Network. We've got a fantastic project that one of our most successful groups is in Wollongong. where Councillor Marsh has come from, and we've been able to engage with the council there and develop a quite a successful network for very little or no cost that helps to build some more capacity in your community music in your and build more music participation in your area. I'll just leave a couple of cards up the back on the desk, and if anybody wants to talk to me about helping to develop some of your policies to help engage your musicians in your local area, I'd love to help you with that. We often find that many cultural development officers or community officers come with visual arts or theatre backgrounds, not so many with music backgrounds. We're very happy to help you there. Thank you.
Okay. Now, there was a gentleman over here, blue shirt. Thank you.
My name's Mark Beasley. I'm manager of the Geelong Heritage Centre for the City of Greater Geelong. I just want to touch on Dr. Modi's second point there about the culture within, which I think is something that's sort of been resonating in my thinking throughout the day. One of the gaps, if we're looking at trying to close the gap and using one of the levers that was talked about before in terms of education, I think one of the great gaps that exists is in our education, in our schooling. To take the AusKick analogy a step further, my second daughter is in prep at the moment, and she's being taught how to kick the football at school by the grade 5 and 6 students. I'd like to see some way that the grade 5 and 6 students interact with a prep student about their culture and who they are and where they've come from, in a way that our culture starts developing from that very basic level, rather than trying to fill the gap when we're more mature. So if there's something that we can take out there and learn more about where we come from and who we are and our heritage, it's got to start at that very young age, I'm afraid, at the school level. So if there's some way that we can influence the educational side of it as a group, I think that's something that can take us a long way to where we want to get to.
Thank you. Good suggestions indeed. I think most of our local governments work closely with schools, but the opportunity to, I know certainly with our festivals, we always round up our schools to participate, but you know, your suggestion is we could set up some challenges for the schools as programs to then showcase perhaps at a festival, or it doesn't have to be as big as a festival, anything we could do. Yep. Gentleman's just going to respond.
Just a further comment on that, and we talked about, I know there was a comment earlier about the tech-savvy nature of our younger generations. They're actually, you know, they really are sponges for information. They want to be able to get that information and, you know, disseminate it and make something of it. So I think there's a great opportunity there to use that. And the access to information is so much, you know, it's so much more out there now and so much more that we can give them. I think if we miss that opportunity, then we've really missed something.
Yeah, look, if I can just respond to a couple of points there. I think that's really important, as Mr. Deanne said. I think most of us are in close partnerships with our schools and education. If we're not, we need to be. We really need to be. We certainly, because we recognise education is absolutely critical to what we do, we've engaged in very close partnerships with our providers and working on programs together. Mentoring, absolutely critical. Rod was just saying too, his background as a teacher, experienced teacher, how important it is starting at the early years, but also moving on further. Because one of the problems we find where you've got three generations unemployed, and talking with Anne before about Wollongong, where does the role models at home, they're not available. So how can we provide the role models in terms of the valuing of lifelong education, employability stakes, where does that come from? Unfortunately, then a lot of, in regional Australia, a lot of kids then go to university and go to the bigger cities. So who provides the role of the mentoring? So the important issues, but the partnership, the issue of the partnership between local government and education in terms of the delivery of cultural change and the issue of mentoring at all levels through and developing attitudes of lifelong learning and the valuing of education and employability skills, really, really important issues.
Hi, my name's Natasha from the City of Monash, and there's been a lot of talk about landscape and infrastructure influencing, I guess, cultural attitudes and having it as an outlet to communities to practice their own cultures. But I think just touching on the earlier point made, one point of that that's missing out is technology and how we can incorporate technology in infrastructure and in landscape to appeal to the younger generation, because they're the ones that are developing a new culture as well. So I just thought that was an interesting point at this forum that wasn't, or that conference that wasn't really highlighted.
Thank you. Well, it is now, and so thank you very much for raising that as well. Okay, one lucky last comment or reflection or question. Yes, lady?
This is a bit lighthearted. I hope I can get away with it at the end of the session, but I'm just conscious of the arts and culture term, and with reference to the fourth pillar ideas and the much discussion and various views about that, I, as a newly appointed manager of arts and culture at a local council, am thinking about going away from the conference and talking to all my colleagues in other departments and suggesting they change their names. And I'll be the manager of arts and culture, and my Paul can be the manager of engineering and culture, and my friend Barbara will be the manager of communications and culture, and there'll be Bill, who'll be the manager of community planning and culture. And I think, you know, there's something that we have to unravel, which we, you know, over 10 years of the discussion, perhaps have still some more talking to do to unravel things and convert the interest in the ideas into some real new ways of doing things and into some real on-the-ground benefits. And I guess we just have to keep talking.
Well, I think that's a perfect way to conclude, and I thank you for your comments in summarising, I think, better than I could have done. So, ladies and gentlemen, can you again thank our panel members, please? Dr. Modi, Councillor Fife, and Councillor Meadows.